I'm going to read, y'all. I'm going to speak, and y'all follow along. Be patient, therefore, brothers, unto the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is coming at the door. The judge is standing at the door. An example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfast of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful.
Thank you. You may be seated, and our children can head to the back to go to children's church. Church, if you would join me there in James chapter 5, where we see our text for today. Thank you, Brother Don, for reading for us. Thank you, Brother Shane and the praise team for leading us. And thank you, congregation, for singing. I love to hear your voices. I love to, whenever you sing praises to our God, and I get to stand down here in the front and hear it. If you ever want to join us, there's room at the front. You can always come and hear the voices of those behind you. Let me ask you a question as we kind of prepare a little bit more for the text that's before us today. How many of you like movies like The Equalizer or John Wick or The Punisher? Movies where the main character is wronged by somebody, and they take matters into their own hands and they go and get revenge. Y'all like those kind of movies? Now, I trust that not many of you were going to admit to watching John Wick or The Equalizer or The Punisher here this morning. So I had a few more options. We have Batman. We have Dirty Harry. Maybe a different generation would appreciate that. The Avengers. Those of you that are more literature fans. The Count of Monte Cristo, right? We love a good revenge story, right? Something happens that shouldn't have happened, and the character, the lead, the hero, takes matters into their own hands, and they dole out justice. Well, here's the thing. Today, in James chapter 5, we're going to be challenged not to do what we love about those characters. We're going to be challenged that in the face of adversity and even injustice, not to take matters into our own hands, not to seek revenge on our own, not to allow justice to be denied, but in order to allow the one who can rightfully bring about justice to bring it about. So let me give you, before we look at the text, the sermon in a sentence. I was listening to a friend of mine preach this week. He did this. I think it's a great practice. So here's the sermon in a sentence. If you fall asleep, you've gotten this much anyways. Christ is coming soon. Therefore, Christians should faithfully endure adversity. Christ is coming soon. We just sang about it multiple times. In light of that fact, right? Therefore, Christians should faithfully endure adversity. If you're with us last week, you saw the first six verses, or you heard the first six verses of James 5. Brother Adam did a great job of helping us understand what was going on there. James addresses these rich bullies who were oppressing the poor working class under them. And they were told that they would be judged. And now James follows up that teaching to the rich bullies with a teaching to the Christians who are being oppressed. So what does he call for? Does he call for vengeance? Does he call for getting even? Now look back at the text with me. This is what he calls for. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brother, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you've seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Let's pray before we consider this text together. Father, we're thankful to be gathered in this building in your presence as your people. Father, I pray that the things that we have just sung are already resonating in our hearts. Lord, that we do look forward to your return, your second coming, to the promises that will be fulfilled on that day, and Father, that it presses us to live in righteousness here and now. So, Father, help us to understand your word. Help me to communicate it clearly. Help us to, with undistracted minds and hearts, listen intently. And may your Spirit do whatever you see fit among us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, surprisingly to us as 21st century Americans, James doesn't call for the Christians to go on the attack. He doesn't say, look, those rich landowners, you go take what is yours from them. You come up with a good plot and a good plan and you take over. You give them what's coming to them. It's not what James calls for. No, what James calls for multiple times, twice in verse 7, once in verse 8, again in verse 10, is patience. 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 How could he call for patience at such a time as this? Well, if we think about it biblically, it really shouldn't be that surprising to us, because as we go through Scripture, we see that the Bible is very clear about who vengeance belongs to, who it is that's going to repay all evil. And we're told in Proverbs and in Matthew and in Romans, among other places, that vengeance belongs to the Lord. He is the judge. He is the righteous one, and he will make sure that all punishment is given the way that it should be. And even more than that, we can look just in this very book that we're in, James, back in chapter 1. If you can remember back that far, I know that was way back in 2025, but James called us to meet trials with joy, right? Count it all joy, brothers, when you endure trials of various kinds. Well, this is a trial of a various kind, a particular kind that we particularly don't like: injustice, oppression. But James has already told us that when we endure trials, we should endure them with steadfastness. What does that mean? That means that patiently, steadfastly, we are remaining faithful to God's expectations of us, even during difficult times. We don't turn from him whenever we have a cancer diagnosis. We don't turn from him whenever somebody that we love dies. We don't turn from him when these things happen. And we don't turn from him or his ways even when injustice comes. So James is helping us put these two things together. Vengeance is the Lord's. We should remain steadfast and faithful, even in trials. And so I would say this: even when you are passed over for a promotion that you deserve, that hurts. Even when someone else in your life, a sibling, a friend, a teammate, gets preferential treatment and you feel undervalued. Even when it feels like your spouse or your coworkers are being lazy and you're carrying more weight than you should have to. Even when you are excluded because of your faith, because of your beliefs, because of your socioeconomic status, because of your age, because of your skin color, even when somebody bigger or more powerful or richer than you or bullies your kids simply because they can, even when those things happen, it's not okay for us to turn to sin. Now, that is a knee-jerk reaction. Right? They're going to get what's coming to them. And I'm going to give it to them. We want to be the punisher. We want to be the equalizer. We want to take matters into our own hands. I'll show them what happens when you mess with the Kilpatrick. Right? It's what we want to do Whenever it's a mama, we refer to that as the mama bear coming out. But this is what James says. It's still not what's right. It's not what's expected of you. What's expected of us now, I'm not saying that we can't seek justice through the legal system and through proper recourse and trying to do things the right way, but taking matters into our own hands and I'm going to hurt somebody who hurt me, James says, that's not correct. Two wrongs still don't make a right, brothers and sisters. So I'm not going to beat a dead horse. This is the call of the text today. The call of the text is to suffer all adversity and all injustice without sinning. That's what we're called to do. At the end of today's text, verses 10 and 11, he gives us an example. So some of you say, look, I kind of understand this idea a little bit, but I'd like a good example. He gives us one. He says, think about Job. Think about the story. Y'all know the story of Job. It's okay if you don't, I'm going to tell it to you very quickly. Job was a rich man who feared God. He was a rich man and a righteous man. But one day, Satan decided to attack him to try and make him turn away from God. And so Satan does. He attacks him brutally. The first thing that happens is that Job loses all his livestock. They're stolen by raiders. He doesn't just lose his livestock. He also loses his children. They were all killed. He loses his health as he soars. He's in terrible shape. He loses his home. It collapsed. So he lost many of his children. So he loses his livestock. He loses his children. He loses his health. He loses his home. He loses all this in a very short period of time. At the hands of not just an unrighteous one, the unrighteous one. The most unrighteous of all, Satan, brings about all of this difficulty and all of this suffering into the life of Job. I think fairly say Job suffered as much as any man not named Jesus Christ. And so what happened? Job has some friends that come around and his wife comes around and they implore him to take on a mindset that was unfaithful, to do things that he should not do, to give in or to give up. At one point, his wife literally says this to him, quote, curse God and die. You think Job wasn't tempted to cuss or bite or fight whenever all these things happened? I think he was. But Job refused. Job refused, even in his suffering, even though this injustice had come in his life, even though he was suffering terribly, he remained steadfast. He trusted in God. He endured faithfully. He went through adversity while doing it without sinning. And here, James offers Job to us as an example of how we should live our lives. Brothers and sisters, when we endure difficulty of any type, even if it's injustice, we should do it without sinning. Point one, Christians should faithfully endure adversity. And when I say faithfully, what I mean is faithful to God. We don't turn from Him. Faithful to His commands. We don't turn from His ways. Faithful to do what He would have us to do. So James gives us the example of Job, but Peter gives us what I would say is an even better example of Jesus. Listen to these two verses. This is from 1 Peter 2, verses 20 and 21. Peter says, for what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, suffering faithfully. For this, to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in His steps. Brothers and sisters, I want you to hear this. When you endure injustice and suffering, and you do it without sinning, you're following in the footsteps of Jesus. Isn't that what we want to do, to follow in the footsteps of Jesus? Jesus was attacked, and he did not retaliate. Jesus was mocked, and he was beaten, and he was treated unjustly, and he did not sin. He trusted God's plan through all of it. He entrusted his very life to the Father, even to the point of death. And Peter says, this is your example. This is how we should live our lives, not the example of the movies that we love to watch, the example of Jesus Christ, faithfully and righteously suffering, even at the hands of sinful people. The other thing that I want to show you today, though, and it's just really one other thing, how? How in the world can we do that? Brother Zach, you're asking us to do something that sitting in here on Sunday morning seems pretty easy, but it is basically impossible. Somebody to bully me, bully my kids, for me to be passed over at work, to do those things and to do it without cussing, biting, fighting. How am I supposed to do that? Well, look in verses 7 and 8. I think James very practically shows us how to do it. He calls us to it. Be patient, therefore, right? In light of the unrighteous suffering, therefore, right? Be patient, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and the late rains, the rains that in Hosea 6, where we read earlier today, Christ, that God's coming is as sure as those rains are to come. And he says this, pay particular attention to verse 8, you also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. So, again, I want to reiterate, James and Scripture are not calling us to just let things go. As if the evil and the unrighteousness and the sinfulness and the bullies are just going to get away with it. That's what we fear. If I don't do something, then they're just going to get away with it. But here's what the Bible promises. I shared this with you a few weeks ago. I'll share it again now. No one is going to get away with anything. You can trust that. Write it down somewhere and remind yourself of it often. No one is getting away with anything. God has a ledger, and it includes every sin that takes place on this earth. All of them that have taken place, all of them that are going to take place, they're written down. He didn't miss them. The things that have been done against you, he knows those things. He's keeping note of them. And he will punish every single sin. Either we will bear the weight and the punishment for our sin, or Christ already bore it. But here's the truth. No one is getting away with anything. You can put your mind at ease about that. There is a righteous judge, and he will judge all unrighteousness, and he will punish every sin. So the teaching of Scripture isn't that vengeance is wrong. It's simply that vengeance is the Lord's. It is not yours and is not mine. It is the Lord's. Now, he gives authority to governments, and there is a judicial system, and we trust that. But the sins that don't go to the point of legal recourse, you can trust that God is going to take care of them. And so then James says this there in verse 8, establish your hearts. What does that mean? It means to be firmly fixed on doing what is right, right? Establishing your heart is kind of like setting up something that's going to hold you in place. It's going to keep you strong. It's batten down the hatches. This is what he's talking about. Establish your hearts to do the right thing even whenever it's hard. And then he tells us how. How can I establish my heart? By remembering this truth, the coming of the Lord is at hand. And that means it's close. It's close. It is soon to be here. So I want to show you just really briefly three ways that I think remembering Jesus' impending return will establish your heart. The first one is this: Christ's return promises that we will soon stand before our Lord. I think we need to remember that. I think that helps us to live righteously without sinning. Let me ask you this. Students, whenever it's towards the end of the semester, or if you have 9 weeks exams, towards the end of 9 weeks, or whenever you know there's an exam coming, don't you pay just a little bit more attention in class, maybe particularly to the review as you get ready, right? We all understand that. Whenever the exam is close, we're a little bit more focused in. Those of you that are athletes, you know there's something about spring training and kind of working out during the summer. But whenever the first game, it's game week, those practices have a different level of intensity, don't they? Adults, whenever you know that your annual review is coming up, won't you focus just a little bit harder on the work that's going to be reviewed? I believe in a similar fashion that remembering that Christ, that you and I will soon stand before Him, I think that can help establish our hearts to do what is right and to not sin. Remember, it's like the end of the semester. It's game week. The review's coming. We're going to stand before the Lord and we want to live lives that are honoring to Him. We're not doing it so He'll accept us. We're only accepted by grace through faith, but we want to live lives honoring to Him. So remember, you'll soon stand before the Lord. Let that establish your heart to do what is right. The second thing is that Christ's return promises punishment for all unrighteousness. Again, I think the more that we can remind ourselves that not only are we going to stand before the Lord, but everyone is going to stand before the Lord. Those sinful people, they're going to stand before the Lord. And I think the more we can remember that, the more it can remind us that this will be handled. I don't have to handle it. I don't have to take revenge or retaliation upon myself because these people will soon stand before the Lord and He will handle the situation. It's trust. Trusting God more than you trust yourself can help establish your heart. The last thing is Christ's return promises that our suffering won't last long. We read that. Brother Shane read it for us from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, right? The things that we're dealing with now, these are light, momentary affliction. Momentary. They're not going to last long. There's this thing that I do whenever I'm going through a difficult thing in life. If I'm running and it's a hard workout, and I've got to run a certain pace and it's hard to keep that pace, what I like to do is keep track in my head. It's only 1 mile left. There's only half a mile to go. You're this close. Don't give up now. Right? Those of you that lift heavy weights, there's only 3 more reps. Only 3 more. I can't quit now. I can't stop here. You're in school. You're in a training. And you're in a class that's hard. And you say, but there's only 1 month left. There's only 2 weeks left. I can't quit now. Brothers and sisters, remember this. James says, Christ is coming back soon. He'll soon be here. Whatever suffering you're enduring, whatever injustice you're going through, it won't last forever. Don't stop now. Don't give in. Don't give up. Don't start sinning now. Don't quit trusting God now. There's just a little bit longer. Establish your hearts. Point two, Christians must remember Christ is coming back soon. We must remember that. Christ is coming back soon. And the last thing that I would commend to you is to think about the end of Job and Jesus' stories. Did Jesus endure great difficulty and suffering more than anyone else ever? I think Job's in second place. Suffering at the hands of an unjust one. But listen to the end of Job. Job 42, 12, and then 16 and 17 says this, "And the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. And after this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons 4 generations. And Job died an old man and full of days." About the end of Jesus' story, he suffered at the hands of unrighteous people. He was nailed to a cross. He died. And then he was resurrected. And then he ascended to heaven and he sits on the throne and he has all glory and he has the name that is above all names. And one day he's coming back to judge the quick and the dead. And brothers and sisters, he will reign for all of eternity. The promise is this. The last point, God's promises are worth waiting for. Oh, I know right now it seems like giving into that sin, taking matters into our own hands, it would make you feel good. It's not going to make you feel as good as waiting for what Christ has in store for you. So establish your hearts. Chase and Jed are going to turn off the lights here for us because I have just a brief clip that I want to show you. Now, I know earlier I talked bad about movies where people take vengeance, and this is from the movie Gladiator. This is one of my favorite movies of all time. I want you to listen to this. This is the call of Maximus, who is the general, in this clip. Pay attention to what he is calling for when he's calling them to hold the line, to stay with him, to not give up. This is the idea of establishing your hearts. Watch this.
Brothers, what we do in life echoes in eternity. Hold the line. Stay with me. Hold the line.
About you, but that gets me excited, brothers and sisters. Here's the idea, right? The infantrymen, they have to hold the line. They have to stand shoulder to shoulder, shield to shield, or they will not make it. The cavalry, as they're riding, and the fear is there, and they probably want to give in, and they probably want to turn around. This is what he calls for. Hold the line. Stay with me. When it's hard, hold the line. When it's scary, stay with me. And I think it's the call of James. It's the call of Job. It's the call of Christ Jesus who says, I'm your example. Hold the line. Establish your hearts. Don't give in. Stay with me. This morning, that is my desire for all of us. That even when it's hard, even when we don't want to, that we will establish our hearts and stand firm to hold and uphold the Word of God and the expectations that He has for us, no matter our circumstances. This morning, I'm going to invite you to stand. And if you're here and you've never come to Christ and responded in faith, I want to invite you to do that today. If you're a Christian here today and you have been unfaithful in your suffering and you just recognize it, I want you to repent. If you feel like you need to retaliate, that you need to seek revenge in your life for some coworker, some friend, some person, I want you to remember this. God will do that for you. And He will do it perfectly. And if you truly trust Him, you won't take those matters into your own hands. I also want you to know this. Christians, if you feel overwhelmed, it seems like it's too hard. I want to ask you to do this. Establish your hearts. Hold the line. Stay with Christ, knowing that it won't last long. You've come this far. We're so close to standing before the Lord. Don't give up now. This morning, the response time is going to be a little bit different. So sometimes the response time is a piano and a voice, and it's a little bit somber. And look, if you need to pray or you need to reflect during this time, that's perfectly fine. But here's what I'm about to do. I'm about to celebrate. Because what is it that establishes our hearts? It's the reminder that Christ is coming back, and He's coming back soon. So we're going to sing an old hymn today, maybe in a new way. We're going to sing this: soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. Amen? Amen? You can't sing this song without smiling. You don't sing standing on the promises sitting down. And you don't sing soon and very soon with a frown on your face. Brothers and sisters, sing this with us like you mean it. Let's sing together.